That's a good question, and I've been thinking about this, and I guess coach your best to me means that you're utilizing all the available resources and information you have to you. So if there's research out there, if there's, another person who's got some valuable information, or you're even just listening to what your athletes have to say, making sure that, every resource and piece of information is used. I think that's the most important thing to be able to coach your best.
In today's episode of Research You Should Know, we're looking at the impact of social media on sports performance, specifically Facebook use and the relationship with sports anxiety. Think you're really going to enjoy it? Let's go. Hey, I'm Jeremy Boone, and welcome to the Coach Your Best podcast. You can find me on the web at athletebydesign.com. If you're on social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it, my user handle is Athlete by Design. Let's be sure and connect. If you're a first-time listener to the show, great to have you. This is a specific part of the Coach Your Best podcast, or topic we'll call it, about recent research that's out there that you may not have heard about or be familiar with. So the last episode around Research You Should Know was with my good buddy, world-class coach, more importantly, friend Nick Winkelman on cueing and sprinting performance. And so if you haven't heard it, go back and check it out. A lot of good information there. If you're regular to the show, welcome back. Glad to have you. And if you find these episodes useful to help you, in fact, coach your best and improve what you're doing every single day, do me a favor if you haven't already and jump on iTunes and leave a quick review and rate the show. That'll help me spread the word out to other coaches around the world. We've had a lot of fun this year and just grown by leaps and bounds in my efforts to be able to impact coaches just like yourself every single day. So we're having a lot of fun. Today's episode is, I mentioned in the introduction, with PhD candidate Kim Insel, who's down in Australia. This is his most recent research that he has published as a co-author, again, in the context of social media and Facebook and sports anxiety. So a lot of good information. Think you're really going to enjoy it. Without further ado, Kim Insel. Okay, I'd like to welcome to the Coach Your Best podcast first-time guest, Kim Insel. Kim, how are you, brother?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Jeremy. How are you?
I am rocking and rolling. It is 9 p.m. here on the East Coast in the States, but I think it's close to noon your time tomorrow for me. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. So we're in the future.
Yeah, so it's about lunchtime. It's more lunchtime for you. Hey, well, listen, real excited to have you on the show. And for the listeners who aren't really familiar with you yet or any of your work yet, give us a little insight into what all you have going on down in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, so thanks. You're interviewing me about my recent research publication, which was on the relationship between sport anxiety and Facebook use. So I did that in my psychology honors year in 2013 as my thesis, and kind of been working on publication and a few other things since then. And then I guess my background has been sports science and psychology, so I have a big interest in both. And now I'm currently doing my PhD, which I'm super excited about. It's about women, professional women's league in the Australian Football League. So just started that a few months ago. So it's all very exciting.
Oh man, it is. Is there anything that's really jumping out at you so far in your current research?
I think for me, it's the excitement. So a lot of people are excited by the prospect of there being a professional women's league. I feel like people wanted it for a while, and I've been watching some matches and doing some preliminary research so far, and everything's looking really good. But the main thing so far, I mean, not a whole lot of data and analysis can be done, but it's just a lot of excitement that's around the women's sport area.
Yeah, you mentioned Australian football, women's Australian football here in the States. Just for the listeners, you know, are we talking soccer or are we talking Australian football, more like rugby?
Yeah, so I think I get this one a lot. So I guess it's so Australian football is its own sport. So there's soccer in Australia, rugby league, rugby union, and Australian football. So Australian football is I guess its own sport, only really played here, apart from some small international games played around every couple of years. But it's a If you haven't seen it before, I implore you to look it up on YouTube. It's a fantastic sport, and it's actually the most popular sport in Australia, and the most profitable sport in Australia. But I think it's interesting that it is only played here, and not many people have heard about it.
Well, you know, maybe we'll put a link, maybe a YouTube, a quick short video of Australian football in the show notes on the site, and that'd be a lot of fun to watch for sure. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, we'll be sure to do that. Well, listen, as I mentioned in the introduction of this show, you know, I reached out to you because at least here in the States, but obviously you being down in Australia and your research, this is a worldwide phenomenon. We could call it a number of different things, but social media is almost the foundation of human life now and an athlete's life for sure. And just the title of your research alone, Facebook use and its relationship with sports anxiety. I mean, that jumped right out at me, not just because of Facebook, but also because of the phrase sport anxiety. And I think a lot of coaches, a lot of athletes, whether it's high performance or even down in middle school and high school, they really don't understand what that is, much less its relationship with social media. So to kind of get us started, brother, let's just kind of jump right in and talk to us a little bit about what inspired you to look at this particular topic for a research study, and what was the purpose of the study?
Yeah, sure. So basically, I think I've always had an interest in Facebook. I'm a big Facebook user, always been a fan of social media. And then when deciding my honors year topic, I was kind of trying to combine a couple of things that I was really interested in, because that was what my supervisor made sure I did, because it's a long year and you got to make sure you're doing something you're really into. And I kind of got that as well from the London Olympics. So 2012 was, I guess, the first Olympics where there was a great emphasis placed on social media use. I think it was called the Social Media Olympics. You know, it's the first time Twitter was used a lot, and there were a lot of cases where people said they used social media, and I guess and that had, you know, detrimental effects on their performance. So from my perspective, not only was it something that I was just really interested in, but it also seemed like something really relevant. And you know, trying to work out, we could have gone, I guess, on a number of social media sites, but, you know, Facebook being the most popular was one that we thought would be the most useful. And I guess our purpose originally was just to see or do a bit of exploration to work out why why there was a relationship between Facebook use and sport anxiety.
And one of the quotes right there in the beginning was actually from an Olympian, I believe, from the 2012 London Olympics, where she made the statement that because she was on social media prior to competition, or it might have been during competition, you'll have to let us know which one, that actually affected her ability to compete and perform her best, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it was Emily Seebohm, who was an Australian swimmer, and she was widely tipped to win a gold medal. I think she'd, you know, gotten close to world record times in the heats. And then she ended up winning a silver, which is by no means a disappointing result. However, I guess felt that her performance had decreased because she was being distracted by people on Facebook, you know, supporting her, or she felt a bit more pressure, and same as Twitter. So, I mean, she said that afterwards, reflecting on her experience, but it seemed as though social media impacted her performance before and during the gold medal, the final swim.
Before we jump into your actual research study, Kim, has anyone else done any type of similar research around this topic that you're familiar with?
Not that I know of. I had another quick look just then, and I still can't really find anything. It seems, I mean, there's a lot of research on Facebook use and, you know, social anxiety, and I guess how it can be utilized for incorporating people into societies, and I guess there's a lot of research regarding the more social implications, but sport in particular hasn't really been explored to a large extent, to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah, well, that's exactly why I'm excited to sit here and talk to you now, brother. Yep. So let's just kind of jump right in. You know, in the study, I think it's important to start off by getting a working definition of how you all really defined the term sports anxiety. What is it? What does it mean? Does it look different at different age groups or genders? Kind of walk us through what some of those things look like.
Yeah, so I think we define sport anxiety as an individual's tendency to perceive competitive situations as threatening and I guess respond with an increase in situational anxiety. So for this study in particular, we used a trait-based sport anxiety measure as opposed to state-based. So trait meaning that it will happen, with regularity. It is something that is part of your personality and will happen, time after time, regardless of the event, whereas state-based is more specific events and the anxiety at that point. So the measure we used was trait-based and felt like that gave us a better idea of the, the longer-term ramifications or the, a better general idea of how Facebook, something that is ingrained into a lot of athletes' lives can relate to one of their traits being, sport anxiety.
Does anxiety in athletics or really any type of performance, Kim, have anything to do with the individual projecting an outcome in the future before it's known?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a lot of potential theories behind sport anxiety and why it occurs, but believing, placing pressure on yourself because of potential performance requirements is definitely one of those. The most interesting thing is that sport anxiety is a subset of, more broader social anxiety. So if you're a person who is more socially anxious, then you're also more likely to be, experience sport anxiety. So it's kind of just a transferal of those, I guess, traits and anxieties across different situations that makes this really interesting.
I like it. So walk us through some of the methods of the study and jump into some of the conclusions. What did you find?
Sure. So basically, as I mentioned before, we use a trait-based sport anxiety measure. So for us, it just involved, ironically, using Facebook to get a whole bunch of athletes to participate in the study. We had over 298 participants. So some of those ranged from local athletes who'd participate in, organized sport one day a week to some, Olympic and international athletes. So it was a really broad range athletes there, which was really good to have. So we got them to complete a questionnaire, which was basically completed some demographics and then a sport anxiety questionnaire. And after that, the Facebook use of each individual was measured. So they would report things such as, how many times have I checked Facebook on a daily basis, how many Facebook friends do you have? So basically just getting a general idea of the amount of Facebook and types of Facebook use that were being seen with different athletes.
Now, did you guys look at what role that Facebook might play in an athlete's self-identity and that's relationship to sports anxiety by chance?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess it's an interesting way to look at it. But so I guess it's your self-identity is really important and I guess self-presentational requirements. So when I say that, I mean that when you're on Facebook, you have a particular way of putting yourself across. And initially, this was, you know, what we thought that, you know, may be contributing to this sport anxiety is that, you know, maybe you're on Facebook and that you're, portraying yourself as an athlete person, and then this, I guess, role of being an athlete means that you would have more pressure on this image, because if you didn't fulfill that role, and as your event may have been, you know, specific competition, may have been displayed on Facebook, and you didn't achieve, you know, your specific, you know, sporting identity, then this could impact you negatively by, you know, potentially increasing your sport anxiety.
And you mentioned that in the beginning that you had the participants work through a sports anxiety questionnaire. Can you give us a little insight into what some of those questions or rank statements or whatever the format of the questionnaire was, you know, what those included?
Yeah, so it's basically the sport anxiety scale 2, so the revised version by Smith et al. So I guess it just asked athletes how to describe how they generally felt before or during a competition. So there were 15 items answered on a 4-point Likert scale. So, you know, 1 being not at all to 4 being very much. And this all included a lot of subscales. So, you know, an example of a question would be that, you know, I worry that I will not play well, which would be an example of, the worry subscale of sport anxiety, or my body feels tense. You know, whether you agree to that or disagree to that, that's, I guess, more to related to somatic anxiety. So those were just, I guess, a few of the, you know, subscales, but the overall scale was the sport anxiety scale.
Yeah, gosh, fascinating. I think that information is fascinating. I would love to be able to participate in that type of research with just, geez, hundreds of questions that come to mind with the athletes that, you know, I get to coach every day. But walk us through what some of the practical applications in terms of the results and discussion that coaches can take away.
The most damning conclusion that we found was that, you know, it was a descriptive statistic. So was that, you know, 68.1% of athletes, so, you know, over, you know, 2/3 of the athletes that we surveyed were using Facebook within 2 hours of a competition. And then, you know, almost 1/3 of these athletes were using Facebook during a competition, which was, I thought, quite surprising. So, and when I say during a competition, you know, say if it's a team sport, that could be at halftime or quarter time, or, you know, if it's an individual sport like swimming, you know, there's time between races. So basically, that was probably the most alarming thing we found, was that the rate that Facebook was being used was really high. And then I guess the other, relationship that we found that was probably more related to sport anxiety was push notifications being enabled on your phone. So a push notification is, you know, basically you get a notification any time something happens on Facebook. So if, you know, someone writes on your timeline, or, you know, you get tagged in a photo, or somebody comments on a status that you've made, you'll get a notification on your phone. So what we found was that if people were using their phone and had push notifications enabled, so, you know, they were able to receive updates, these people were, you know, had higher levels, this related to sport anxiety. So, I mean, I thought that was a really interesting finding, to realize that maybe these people that are, you know, suffering from sport anxiety, you know, in, you know, competitions, these were the ones that, you know, may benefit the most from not having their phones on them and able to, you know, I guess, have, I guess, these updates constantly, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, and it could also include, I would assume, some type of just attentional addiction, right? Especially with the push notifications.
Yeah, so, you know, having that addiction to your phone, I mean, that's definitely something to look at in future research. But I guess just being on your phone and having that there can be a distraction. And I guess that's the most important practical implication is that, you know, while we can't really say from this research if, you know, using your phone will increase your sport anxiety, that's something to do in further research. We do know that, A, people are using Facebook a lot before and during competitions, and B, that, you know, by using Facebook and, you know, potentially having push notifications enabled on your phone, this will potentially lead to, I guess, your concentration being disrupted. So, you know, it's a very important time mental preparation-wise before a competition. And even during, you need to be focused and attentive. And if you're looking at Facebook and seeing, you know, a funny status or a video that someone's posted, that's not really, going to help you in that regard.
I'm assuming these same findings apply to really any social media outlet, correct? Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I would assume, but obviously in research, I can't make any ironclad assumptions. But the idea that, you know, being distracted by your phone in general, whether that be, you know, friends messaging, whether that be Facebook or whether that be Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, there is definitely the potential there that, you know, that distraction and that, you know, could definitely go across not just Facebook but other social media applications as well.
My gosh, fantastic stuff, Kim. I love it. I can talk about it all day. What do you have on the horizon in terms of your research that's exciting here in the near future?
So in terms of, I guess, in terms of this data, I think hopefully we'll be able to, because we also collected some data regarding, you know, athletes and non-athletes, and so maybe that would be an interesting study to do in the future regarding the Facebook use and sport anxiety. But in general, I mean, I think it would be really exciting to work out, you know, some kind of causal relationship. It would be really difficult to do, but I think for us, the exciting thing was that this research basically told us, hey, there's something going on. There's a relationship between sport anxiety and Facebook use. There needs to be some more research done to work out, you know, how exactly this happens and why it happens, and more importantly, how it can be prevented to, you know, maintain, you know, optimal performance for athletes.
Yeah, you know, Kim, this research for me was just so critical. And even though it is an inaugural piece of research in the world of sport and social media use, I think it goes hand in hand. It really helps validate the Coach Your Best philosophy and methodology about the importance of being intentional around environmental design. And in this case, the environment of a phone and social media as it relates to an athlete's focus, an athlete's attention. And one of the key phrases that we spend time around, which I've enjoyed taking your research. I've already handed it out to about 15 to 20 different athletes that I get to work with just here in the past day or two, is around this phrase that I use called protect your attention if you want to play your best. And this information you've shared with us today just goes right along with that. And that goes for coaches too. You know, you can't be on the sideline. You can't be in practice and get caught up emotionally. And then even start rationalizing people's opinions that you read on Facebook about yourself. And then it all goes away. You're not protecting your attention. So gosh, just great stuff, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you've summed it up really nicely, and it's, I mean, I'm as excited as you are. It's a great area of research, and I think one that definitely warrants more attention.
One final question as we kind of close out this particular episode that comes to mind around Facebook. When you all were doing the initial questionnaires and kind of looking at the amount of Facebook use, when were athletes getting on Facebook pre-competition, during and after, and all those, exciting components. Did you by chance have an opportunity to look at the direction or the quality of the Facebook posts as it relates to the self-identity with athletes? Like for example, I'll go in and follow some of the athletes I work with on Facebook, and pretty much, at least in my experience, 99% are only posting things that make their identity look phenomenal. And then where we get stuck as it relates to sports anxiety for me, again, that's why I tie back to, I saw this title, I'm like, I've got to get in touch with Kim. Yeah. Is then they get tied up with this perfectionist outcome, right? And I've got to make sure everybody on Facebook thinks that, you know, I'm going to be perfect and I can't make a mistake. Mm. And I've got to keep posting all these things. Was that looked at all in terms of how these athletes portrayed themselves?
Yeah, it wasn't, I guess, specifically, because, I mean, there have been a few studies, you know, looking at, you know, social anxiety and relationships with Facebook use, and kind of analyzing the content of a page. And that's something that we didn't do in this research project. But absolutely, that would be a fantastic thing to do, to actually work out the, you know, even coding the, you know, whether the posts or the, I guess, information on Facebook was positive, negative, and I guess working out that relationship. That would be a very important and, I guess, useful thing to also look at in the future.
Yeah, well, listen, if you need to increase your sample size, brother, I have many, many athletes that struggle with that here in the state. So we could definitely help you with some numbers there.
That would be great.
Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. Where can the listeners go to learn more about you, kind of follow you and your work as you kind of post all this exciting information that you're diving into?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Twitter, which is just my name, at Kim Encel, so K-I-M-E-N-C-E-L. And my supervisor, who's admittedly a little bit more active on Twitter, he's got a great interest in social media and not just, you know, professional sport, but exercise in general. His Twitter handle is at C Messano, so that's C-M-E-S-A-G-N-O. And you can find me on LinkedIn as well, but hopefully I'll be having some more research posted in the future, not just on social media and Facebook, but women in sport. So two different areas, but both exciting nonetheless.
Well, listen, Kim, thankful for your time and grateful for all the energy and effort you're putting in for some pretty exciting research, and looking forward to having you back on the show here in the next few months and hearing all the good things you have going on.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me.